Bibles and be turning, if you would please, to 1 Samuel chapter 30. 1 Samuel chapter 30. Is this thing on, Rick? All right. 1 Samuel chapter 30 in your Bibles, if you would please. 1 Samuel chapter 30. Anybody need a Bible tonight? 1 Samuel chapter 30. Hey, Sarah. It's good to see you. Glad to have you with us tonight. Like your bright smile, and I like your yellow blouse. It just brightens everything up, all right? So that's great. 1 Samuel chapter 30, if you would please. 1 Samuel chapter 30. You know, on a cold, dark night, it's good to have some bright things, is it not? 1 Samuel chapter 30 in your Bibles, if you would please. 1 Samuel chapter 30. On this first Wednesday of the new year, I want to speak on the subject tonight of encouraging yourself in the Lord your God. Encouraging yourself in the Lord your God. If you've got your Bibles open, let's read the first six verses. You follow along in your Bibles, if you would please. 1 Samuel chapter 30. Notice verse 1, the Bible says, "And it came to pass, when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag, and smitten Ziklag, and burned it with fire, and had taken the women captives that were therein. They slew not any, neither either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives were taken captives, Ahinoam, the Jezreelitess, and Abigail, the wife of Nabal, the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters." Notice the last expression in verse 6. "But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God." He encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Let's pray and ask for God's help, and then we'll get started. Father, I do pray for your help as we look in the Word of God, and I pray that you would use the message tonight to bring encouragement to those who've come. We'll praise you and thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, I think it's very easy for people after the beginning of the new year to sort of get down and discouraged, and sometimes we can get somewhat depressed. I think the reasons for that are many. Sometimes it's a result of family and friends now being gone, all right? You had folks here during the holidays, a lot of activity going on, a lot of festivities going on. Now everybody's gone, it's over with, it's done, and you just sort of sink down a little bit. Sometimes it's because exhaustion sets in. You know, people have overdone it, they've run themselves ragged, and now they're just weary, if you would please. Sometimes I think it's a result of overspending. And now the bills are starting to come in. That's a good cause for discouragement, isn't it? And, you know, sometimes I think it's a physical thing. I think we get on sugar overload. And it takes a toll, and our body begins to now come down from that. Sometimes I think we get discouraged because Satan is attacking. He's assaulting. The old devil knows how to hit us at our weak moments, and to attack us when we're most vulnerable. Sometimes I think it's a result of problems we're having. Maybe we're having problems at work. Maybe we're having problems with a spouse. Maybe we're having a problem with a child. Maybe it's another family member. Maybe it might be just life in general. You know, whatever the source of discouragement might be in a person's life, I believe there's things that we can learn from David's example here tonight. He certainly was down. He certainly was discouraged. In fact, the Bible says in verse 6 that David was greatly distressed. He had good cause. His men were speaking of stoning him, of killing him. I think that's a good cause to be discouraged and to be in distress. And not only that, but his wives had been taken captive as well. If you have a little bit of a background of understanding of what David is going through, it helps you to grab hold of really the intensity with which David was expressing himself And really the importance of realizing that in a very difficult time in life, he did a very important thing. And that is he encouraged himself in the Lord his God. This is a time in David's life where David had actually run to the enemy. He had become a friend with a Philistine king, the king of Gath, King Achish. And King Achish was going out to fight the nation of Israel. And he invites David, really not invites David, he expects David to go out and fight with him. And David's caught between a rock and a hard place. And he's forced to go. But God in his goodness delivers David. We call that the providence of God, God moving, God working to protect his own. And God moved in such a way, orchestrated in such a way in which David was released from fighting. He goes back home to Ziklag. They've only been gone for 3 days. But when they get back there, there's no city left. It's been burned to the ground. And all the wives and children of him and his men have been taken captive. And the Bible says that this was so earth-shaking that in verse 4, that David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice, and what did they do? They wept. You know what it is to weep when you get discouraged, when you get down, when things are not going well in life. And the Bible says that not only did they weep, but they wept until they had no more power to weep. I mean, they just cried themselves to the point where they had no more tears to cry. I don't know if you've ever been to that point in your life or not, but if you have, you know, you understand you were going through a very distressing situation. And David's under great distress, as well as his men. How would you feel if you came back and the city that you were living in had been burnt to the ground and your wife was gone and your children had been taken captive? And so they're all down, they're all discouraged. It not only affected them, it did affect David as well. His two wives also had been taken, if you would please. And so when the Bible says that David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, we understand the other guys were distressed as well. Their soul, as the verse says, the soul of the people was what? Grieved. Say they were also going through great distress as well. They were grieved, every man for his sons and every man for his daughters. But David did something that it doesn't appear that any of the other ones did. And that is, the Bible says, he encouraged himself in the Lord his God. He encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Now, as we look at 1 Samuel chapter 30, it does not really tell us how David went about doing that. It just tells us the fact. He's greatly distressed. His men are speaking about stoning him. Things are bleak. Things are bad, if you would please. Don't think you can get much worse than that. And the Bible says that David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. So the Bible doesn't, it tells us what he did. It doesn't tell us how he did it. But if you read the Psalms, I think it begins to give you some hints of some things that David might have done. For example, let's take our Bibles and turn over to Psalm 46. We'll come back to 1 Samuel in a little bit. But let's go to Psalm 46. Psalm 46. And as we look at Psalm 46, I think that one thing that David probably did in looking at this psalm is that he reminded himself of God's presence. I think that's one thing that David did to encourage himself in the Lord as God. He reminded himself of the Lord's presence. And in Psalm 46, if you would please, when you're down and you're out and you're discouraged and you're all alone and nothing looks good, it all looks bleak, remember, God is there. God is there. He is always present. And in Psalm 46, notice what this psalm says. In Psalm 46 and verse 1, the Bible says, God is our what? Refuge. And not only a refuge, he's also our what? Strength. And I like how the verse presents this. He is a very present what? Help in time of what? Trouble. So understand that when you're down and out and you're going through a difficult time and things are looking bleak and you don't see any light at the end of the tunnel, in fact, you think you're in the midst of the tunnel and it's going to go on forever, it's all dark all around you, there's the presence of God. God is a very present help in time of trouble. Our God is not a God who is asleep. He is not a God whose hearing aids, the batteries have gone out, that he's hard of hearing. One of my sisters came up to me the other day and she said, Pastor, I hate to tell you this, but right in the midst of the message, both my hearing aids went out. Both the batteries went out. So I had to read your lips. So, you know, I'm sure she got a real good message, all right? But aren't we glad that God's hearing aids haven't gone out? You know, God's not a God that's hard of hearing. He's not a God that is sleeping. He's not a God that's preoccupied with other things that are going on elsewhere. Does this sound a little familiar to you? There was a prophet by the name of Elijah who told the false prophets of Baal, why don't you just cry out a little bit louder? Maybe your God's got a little hard hearing. Maybe he's on vacation, cruising around somewhere, preoccupied with something else. You do remember that, don't you? In 1 Kings chapter 18, we don't have time to go back there tonight, but 1 Kings 18, 25 through 29, read it sometime. And you'll see that Elijah's just chiding them and saying, well, your God, you know, he's on a far journey. You know, maybe he's taking a nap. You know, maybe he's hard of hearing. You know, and boy, he riles those guys up. He gets them all irritated. They start sticking themselves with the knives so much that blood is gushing out of their bodies, you know, expecting Baal, crying out to Baal to send fire down from heaven. And guess what? Nothing. Nothing. False gods aren't present gods. Our God is. And I don't care what you're going through in life. And I don't care how quickly something severe can hit you. And it can hit you unsuspecting and bring you down. God is there. He is a very present help in trouble. I don't know exactly how David encouraged himself in the Lord, but I have an idea that David recognized God's presence, that God was a present help for him, even in the midst of all of his men, 600 men, thinking of stoning their leader, killing him. He encouraged himself in the Lord his God. I think, first of all, he reminded himself of God's presence. Look over in Psalm 18, if you would please. I think we get some hints from the Psalms of some of the things that David might have done to encourage himself in the Lord. And when we come to Psalm 18, I get the idea that he may have reminded himself of the power of God. Not only God's presence, but God's power. Look here in Psalm 18, if you would please. In Psalm 18, in verse 6, David in this psalm speaks of crying out to the Lord in his distress. Notice in verse 6, he says, in my what? Distress, I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him even into his ears. So David speaks about crying out to the Lord, having the confidence that God had heard his prayers. You go on and read verses 7 through 16 of this psalm, and it speaks about the miraculous things that David had seen God do on his behalf. In his distress, he cried out to God, and he saw God work. He saw God move. He saw God doing something. Notice, if you would please, in verse 7, he says, then the earth shook and trembled. The foundation also of the hills moved and were shaken because he was wroth. The Lord was upset. There went out a smoke out of his nostrils and fire out of his mouth. Devoured coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens also and came down in darkness under his feet. And he's talking about things that God is doing here. We won't take time to read through all the verses, but notice, if you would please, when you come down to verse 16, it says, he sent from above. He took me. He drew me out of many what? Waters. In other words, in my distress, I cried out to God. God began to show his power on my behalf. God began to work. God began to do things. God began to move as a result of me praying to him and crying out to him. You see, I think David, when he encouraged himself in the Lord, not only reminded himself of God's presence, I think he reminded himself of God's power. He'd seen the power of God. He'd seen God's power work on his behalf time and time and time again. And you get down to verse 17, and in verse 17, he gives a testimony of what the Lord had done on his behalf. In verse 17, notice the Bible says, he delivered me from my strong enemy and from them which hated me, for they were too strong for me. You ever feel like your problems are too big for you? Not too big for God. Not too big for God. His testimony, God delivered me from my strong enemy, from them that hated me. I couldn't handle it. But God did. God did. David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. I think he probably reminded himself of God's presence. I think he probably reminded himself of God's power. If you look over in Psalm 34, if you would please, I think he probably reminded himself in Psalm 34 of some of the promises of God. He encouraged himself in the Lord as God. It doesn't tell us how he did it, but as we read the Psalms, I think we get some hints. I think we get some suggestions. I think we get some ideas of what this man did. And in Psalm 34, I think he reminded himself of some promises of God. Some promises like we find down in verse 17 of Psalm 34. Notice the Bible says, "The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of some of their troubles." It doesn't say that, does it? Says the righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of how many of their troubles? All their troubles. All their troubles. Notice in verse 18, the Lord is nigh. You know what it means to be nigh? It means to be near. He's close. God is close to those who are of a broken what? Heart. A beat down heart. When you get discouraged, you're beaten down. And sometimes you have a crushed heart. You talk about a wayward child. That's a crushed heart, is it not? You talk about a home where things aren't going too well between dad and mom. Hey, listen, that's a crushed heart. That's a crushed heart. There's all kinds of burdens that people bear in this world and all kinds of trials that people are called upon to go through in this world. And the Bible says that God is nigh. He's close to those who are of a broken heart, a beat down heart. And save us such as of a contrite spirit. The word contrite means crushed to powder. I mean, you've got nothing left in you. God says, I'm near those people. I'm close to those people. I think David reminded himself of the promises of God. Verse 19, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivered them out of them all. Verse 22, the Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. Put your trust in God. You know, promises are meant to be claimed. They're meant to be rested upon. And I think David, when he was discouraged and greatly distressed because the men spoke of stoning him, and he encouraged himself in the Lord his God, I think David began to remind himself of some of the promises that God had given. Then if you look in Psalm 40, if you would please, not only the presence of God, not only the power of God, not only the promises of God, I think David probably reminded himself of some of God's past victories that he had given him. Psalm 40 speaks of a time when David cried out to the Lord and The Lord heard his cry and worked on his behalf. Notice verse 1 of Psalm 40, I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined unto me and he heard my what? Cry. And David describes what God had done in verse 2 in terms of being brought out of a horrible pit and out of a miry clay. Verse 2, he says, God brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay. He set my feet on a rock and he established my goings. David then goes on to give praise to God. And in verse 5, he states, notice, many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done. And thy thoughts which are to usward, they cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more that can be, what? Numbered. I think David was reminding himself of past victories that God had given him. Many, O Lord, my God, are thy wonderful works. I've seen you do some wonderful things, God. Just need you to do another one. He encouraged himself, and the Lord is God. God's presence, God's power, God's promises, God's past victories they brought. I think he probably reminded himself of God's unceasing faithfulness. God's unceasing faithfulness. Psalm 42. Psalm 42. In Psalm 42, I think Psalm 42 is a psalm for the discouraged. Twice in this little psalm, the question is asked, why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted within me? We see that, first of all, in verse 5, why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted in me? We see it once again in verse 11, why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted within me? So twice in this little psalm, not a lengthy psalm, just 11 verses, it asks the questions, why am I discouraged? Why am I down? Why is my soul cast down? You know, why am I discouraged? Why am I disquieted within me? And then coupled with those questions are four simple words that form the answer to discouragement. Hope thou in God. Questions asked in verse 5. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Here we have the answer. Hope thou in God. You see the same thing in verse 11. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Here we go. Hope thou in God. Look to God. Trust Him. He's going to be faithful to you. God has unceasing faithfulness to His people. 1 Corinthians 1:9, God is faithful. He's faithful. He's faithful. He's faithful. And notice how both those verses end. Both those verses end by saying this, I'm going to hope in God. And it says, for I shall yet praise Him for the help of His what? Countenance. See that at verse 5, the end of verse 5? I'm going to yet praise Him for the help of His countenance. You look down at verse 11, at the end of verse 11, for I shall yet praise Him for the health of my countenance and my God. That's a strong statement of faith. That's saying God's going to come through for me. I am yet going to praise God. Because God is going to bring the answer. David had come to experience God's unceasing faithfulness time and time and time again. So searching the Psalms, I truly believe that David encouraged himself in the Lord as God by focusing on God's presence, by focusing on God's power, by thinking about the promises of God, by thinking about past victories that God had given him by meditating and dwelling upon God's unceasing faithfulness, and in faith being able to say, I am yet going to praise God because he's going to come through for me. Now let's go back to 1 Samuel chapter 30 before we run out of time. And in 1 Samuel chapter 30, there's something I want you to see with me here tonight. In 1 Samuel chapter 30, I just thought this would be a good subject to get started on the new year, first Wednesday night of the new year. Just, hey, let's encourage ourselves in the Lord our God. I don't know where you're at tonight. I don't know if you're going through trials. I don't know if you're going through problems. I don't know if you're discouraged. I don't know if you're down. I don't know if you're depressed. I don't have the slightest idea where any of you are tonight. But I know if you're anywhere near those things, even in sugar withdrawal, if that's where you're at tonight, you need to encourage yourself in the Lord, your God. And while we can go to the Psalms and glean, I think, some ideas of how David must have encouraged himself in the Lord, this is how David probably did it. Really, truthfully, it's all conjecture on our part because we don't know for sure. It just tells us that David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. But it goes on in the next verse. And in the next verse, we see David doing something. And David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, I pray, bring me hither the ephod. And Abiathar brought thither the ephod to David. Now the ephod was a garment that the high priest wore. Had some stones in it. And look what David does in verse 8. And David inquired at the Lord, saying, Shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, God answered him, Pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. So while we're not exactly told what David did to encourage himself in the Lord, we are told that David, in the midst of this very difficult time, encouraged himself in the Lord his God, and he turned to the Lord to find guidance for what he was supposed to do. And my friend, I don't know what you're encountering. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what trials you're facing. I don't know what difficulties you might have. I don't know what problems are going on in your life. I don't know what kind of testings or how severe the testings are that you're facing in life. But I do know this. If you will ask God to guide you, He will give you the guidance you need through every situation in life. He's there to guide us. He's there to guide us. Ask Him to guide you. That's what David did. Lord, what should I do? Should I go pursue these people that came and invaded our town and burn it down? Should I go after them? Should I pursue them? What do you want me to do? What should I do in this situation? And many times the truth of the matter is we don't know what to do. But He does. And the Bible says, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. And my friend, I just want to say here tonight, you'll never go wrong by turning to God and asking Him to guide you. In your problems, it's not the psychologist you need. It's not the psychiatrist you need. It's not a friend's advice that you need. In your time of trial, you need the guidance of God. You need God's guidance. You need God's direction. And may we learn tonight from David's example to encourage ourselves in the Lord our God.
He said, boy, well, you're going through trials, you're going through difficulties and all these things. And boy, that's really hard to do. Yes.
It's hard to do. But it's right to do. And he's the one that can bring you through. Well, Father, we thank you for the opportunity to look at these great truths. And I pray, Lord, that you would use them to bring encouragement, to help and give strength, and Lord, direction for what we're to do in the midst of our trials. And no matter what we face in life and what comes our way, Lord, may we always be people who turn to you and seek your face for guidance, for direction, to know what to do, where to turn, where to go. And Lord, we praise you and thank you that you are there to provide it for us. Watch everyone and keep them safe as they travel home tonight. We once again, Lord, bring Roberto and Lisa's family before your throne of grace, Lord. We know they're grieving tonight and they're hurting tonight. And many of them, Lord, need to come to know you. And I pray that you'd help Roberto and Lisa to be strong for you, to be a witness for you, Lord. And Lord, speak up where they can speak up. Work in hearts and lives for your glory and honor. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.